Radio, where all the active content is compliant, even when the host is obstreperous. Now, here's Griff.
Why use these big words when a small one will do? This segment is brought to you by Stamps.com. Spend less time shipping, more time selling. Returns, you know, can be contentious, but that doesn't mean there can't be a happy ending. And here now to explain his expert strategies for online dispute resolution is the man who pioneered that field at eBay for many years before founding his own company. Colin Rule is the CEO of Modria, the world leader in online dispute resolution. Colin, welcome.
Thank you, Griff. Happy to be here. So back you, at Mama eBay.
Right.
Everything I know, I learned here at your foot.
You may leave, but you never really check out.
That's right.
So, Colin, what are the common causes of disputes, specifically around return merchandise?
Well, you know, again, I'm sure everybody out there in eBay radio listening land has had experience with this. There's lots of things that can emerge with returns. Consumers, they've been spoiled, I think, by sites like Amazon and Zappos. They expect to be able to return anything for any reason, even after they use it for months.
Yeah.
You know, and on eBay, sometimes people are selling as-is items. Sometimes people are selling items that are not new at a seriously discounted price. And then consumers get it, and they have unreasonable expectations, and they're very demanding about returns. So, you know, it's, if there's a restocking fee, if there's a return window, consumers oftentimes will ignore that and make demands, and it can create complications. Another huge issue is who's going to pay for return shipping.
Yeah.
And, you know, even as clear as we tried to make that on eBay over and over and over again, consumers say, well, look, you misdescribed the item, so I don't want to pay return shipping. So we see a lot of disputes around that.
Let's talk about prevention for a minute. What best practices can help prevent returns disputes from even arising?
Yeah, I think it's being clear up front. I think if consumers get good information about what the return policy is at the point when they make the purchase, then they don't get surprises downstream. I remember at eBay, we didn't used to surface return information that significantly, and it generated tons of disputes. We had millions of these issues from consumers complaining about onerous returns policies. But then we actually collected the information on the Sell Your Item form in a structured way and surfaced it in the listing, and we saw the number of disputes come way down.
Yeah.
So I think it's also important for sellers to not be – what I often found on eBay is sellers would have a very strict return policy, but then they would often – especially if there was something that was their responsibility, a mistake that arose, then they would be very, very flexible. So – you know, being clear about your return policy, but also understanding that you need to have some flexibility should something arise.
Right, and even those sellers, they may be more accommodating on a case-by-case basis, but if you're advertising a very strict return policy, you're turning away buyers who might otherwise be good customers.
That's absolutely right. People do get scared away, and I think that's one of the reasons why you see companies like Zappos with these crazy 365-day return policies. Yeah. You know, people will pay more if they feel like they're going to get flexibility on the other side. The other thing we've seen in categories like clothes, shoes, and accessories, there's a lot of returns. And sellers understand that, and they provide very flexible. I mean, obviously, it's no good if somebody buys a prom dress from you and then wears it and tries to return it 3 days later. But that's
well, getting the blood stains out is really tough.
That's right. I had one of those proms.
Oh, jeez. I'm sorry. I opened that can of worms.
No. But I think, I mean, if you look in, like, new inbox computer games, you know, once somebody opens that box, you've lost a lot of value. And if you look at something like auto parts, I mean, people install it in the car and it doesn't work. Really, a return's not going to do any good because the item's lost all of its value. So it is category by category. But I think transparency and being upfront with consumers, that's the way to head off the returns disputes before they get bad.
So what do you believe are the key points then to address when a seller is drafting their own return policy? They're going to present this to the world.
Yeah. I think one of the things you want to do is you want to be very clear about what the return window is, and you want to be very clear about return shipping, what your expectations are. I think you want to be very clear about returns for refund. And then in which circumstance you don't even want the return, because we definitely see people that sell low dollar value items and they don't even want the item back. So you also want to be clear about restocking fees. I've seen a lot of disputes arise and say, okay, you can return it, but I'm only going to give you 90% of your purchase price back. Well, that can generate a lot of frustration if you're not clear and upfront
about the fact that there's a 10% restocking fee.
Exactly. And, you know, electronics, that's very common, but in other categories, it's not as common. The other thing we saw at eBay is oftentimes people would have very restrictive returns policies, and then they would try and enforce that on their buyers. And then the buyers would complain and file a formal complaint, and then eBay would come in and do an evaluation and say, well, if the item was misdescribed, then the terms that were originally proposed by the seller may be trumped by eBay or PayPal's
right,
terms.
Yeah.
So I think that's one thing to think about too. You don't want to be overly restrictive. I know it can give you more negotiating leverage later, but it also will generate more problems that just sap your time and energy and harm your reputation. So, you know, I think that the standards on the internet over the last 10 years, we've seen return policies become much, much more generous. Because, you know, most face-to-face retail experiences have got very generous return policies. If you walk in, you have a receipt, you know, it doesn't matter how beat up is it. You know, most stores, even like Target and Walmart, they'll take it back.
Some of them will take it back without a receipt.
Well, in the Nordstroms of the world, they're famous for these crazy return policies where somebody comes in, they don't have a receipt, you know, they don't sell the item anymore, but they still take it back. So we have found that consumers are willing to pay more to go to a seller that has a very generous, flexible return policy like that. And that reputation information, it gets around.
I'm one of those people.
Me too.
My wife's the same way. You never know. Yeah. I bought her something. I was going to buy her something. I found it cheap on the internet. She said, no, I want to buy it at Williams-Sonoma. I'm like, it's $60 more at Williams-Sonoma. She said, yeah, but I can go back there and I can talk to them and I can get a return, you know, no questions asked. For me, it's worth it. It's almost like an insurance policy.
That's a great example. And this is what, if you're selling on eBay, this is what you're up against.
That's exactly
You're not just competing with sellers on eBay. You are competing with the rest of commerce.
That's exactly right.
Off and online. Big retail and small.
So, Carlin, let's say we do everything right. We're little Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts. Everything's right.
Mm-hmm.
But every now and then there's a dispute. So
Absolutely. Give
us some tips to help resolve it quickly.
Well, let me tell you one thing that I've learned. And I've been in dispute resolution for 30 years at this point, almost 30 years. Disputes are inevitable. It's inevitable.
It's a human condition.
Even if you're Dana, even if you're Betsy, even if you're the best seller in the world.
Even if you're Griff.
Griff, I don't know. But... I actually found being a pink is not necessarily a good thing.
Oh, we're not pinks anymore.
Oh, you're not pinks anymore. Well,
we're blue outliners now. So.
Blue outliners. Yeah. Okay, I guess I can see that when I look at you in the bright light.
Yeah, blue outline.
Right, yeah. But, you know, I think it doesn't matter how good a seller you are. I remember I used to say, you know, we gave out there were letters that we used to send out from Meg when you got your 50th transaction.
Oh, yeah.
Or your
100th.
I said, we should send out a letter for your first neg, your first undeserved neg. It says, congratulations. You're now a real seller.
Right. Yeah. You just got your first
neg. Everybody's
gonna get.
You have an opportunity now.
Exactly. An undeserved neg. Now you're part of the real family. You know what it's like to just have somebody be totally unreasonable and just hit you. So I think, you know, disputes are inevitable. And the question is, what do you do when they arise? And I think a lot of people the first time, especially when someone's being unreasonable or they're saying something that's not true and you know it's not true, the instinct is to fight on the principle. It's like, you know what? I'm gonna prove you wrong because I know you're wrong and we're gonna go to the mat and, you know, then a month later, 2 months later, you go, God, what did I just
Sounds
do?
Like my family's Thanksgiving.
Oh, jeez, don't bring that memory
it's
up.
It's all this, it's all of a piece, Lee. It's all of a piece. But so when a dispute arises, you gotta think, what's my reputation? What's my interest here? It may be more in my interest to just take care of this case and move on and get back to business than to try and go to the mat and the whole thing. I'm not telling people to just roll over and let buyers take advantage of you. But if you do have a situation where you have a dispute, it's over a relatively minor thing, it may be in your interest to just take care of that and move on.
Yeah.
And what we've seen with really experienced sellers and retailers, they know that a certain percentage of transactions are going to go sideways. And they just bake that into their projections from the beginning.
Exactly.
And then when it arises, retailers call it shrinkage. They say, look, this is in the shrinkage percentage, so I'm just going to move on.
I can't use that word without thinking of Seinfeld, so I'll just not go there. Why should Kelly – and this is a mindset that I see a lot before I ask you this question.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, sellers had a bad experience with a buyer. They believe the buyer's been unreasonable, and they just say, I'm not going to resolve it. I'm just going to block them. Why should sellers care about resolving buyer problems if it's extremely unlikely, given the nature of this transaction, that the buyer will ever make another purchase from that seller again?
Well, the reality is on the internet, word gets around. I just wrote a book called New Handshake, which is all about consumer resolutions on the internet and thinking about how do we do this in a systemic way. Because anybody with a cell phone now, swipe, 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 you can buy any place in the world.
Yeah.
And consumers are really empowered by the internet and by eBay. I mean, the feedback system is just the beginning of it. I mean, we've found people are 50 times more likely to talk about a negative experience they had on the internet than a good experience.
Yeah.
If you deliver a delight experience where someone buys it from you, you ship it in 2 hours, it shows up, it's exactly as described, that's table stakes.
Well, that's what they're expecting.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So if you go and you deliver a bad experience and you block somebody, you think, well, I'm never going to see them again and they're not going to buy from me, so it's over. Like, well, that's not really the case. That person becomes a megaphone out there talking about their experiences, and it's amazing the degree to which information can get around.
Yeah. So especially with social media too.
Absolutely. And we're all in this together, you know, to a certain extent. If we're delivering bad experiences to buyers, even if you never even transacted with that buyer, but another seller is delivering those bad experiences and just blocking those users, that can impact all of us in the marketplace, because buyers are going to talk about not only their bad experience with that seller, but their bad experience with eBay overall.
Hey, we're about to go on a break. Can you stick around?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, thank you, because we need to talk about his book.
Yeah, I want to talk about the book.
We haven't talked about the book yet. We need to talk about the book.
And I want to make some duck sounds so that I can get people to call in at the wrong time.
You're right.
Oh, that
well, you're
be,
more than welcome.
That would be very funny.
You don't
that
sound like our
funny.
Duck. Though.
Oh no, I gotta keep.
You gotta work at it.
I'll make different quacking sounds.
Our duck sounds like he's aware of the fact that there's people in the blind aiming rifles at him. So
he's like a quack quack.
No, he's a daring. He's a go ahead.
Quack, quack.
Right there you go.
All right.
So we're gonna take a short break, but Colin will come back. And Colin, by the way, used to be at PayPal and eBay. You were part of the trust team.
That's right.
So he knows, and it, specifically around dispute resolutions.
Oh yeah.
And so he has a company now called Modria. You can find them online, modria.com.
Oh, and I heard something exciting. Are you rich now?
Well, a lady never tells.
Okay.
But I can't complain. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Lee's does the news, so she knows all the news. You can't put anything past
her. He was acquired by Tyler Technologies. I'm hoping for big bucks.
It couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
It's a joint venture, right?
Well, let's just say if we all have dinner, it's on me.
Oh, okay. That's
good. Thank you.
Is the job offer still open, by the way, if I decide to leave eBay? Is it too late now? Has that train sailed?
Don't you think that
you're never going to leave eBay.
I'm not.
Admit it.
In a wooden box.
Admit it.
With a calla lily on my chest.
Could use a radio show?
Yeah.
Tyler Technologies Radio.
She's always thinking this one. This segment was brought to you by Stamps.com. We'll be back with more after this. 888-723-4630. It's eBay.
Ask any successful eBay seller to sum up the secret of their success in just one word, and you're liable to hear the same answer. Therapeutic. Because thousands of the world's most successful sellers rely on Therapeutic to tell them what items are hot, how to price them, and what their competitors are doing. Only Therapeutic can access up to 2 years of eBay data to help you improve every phase of your online selling and take your profits to the next level. Therapeutic has been building tools for eBay sellers for 12 years, and they've helped seller after seller to grow their business. Even if you can only afford a single third-party tool, you can't afford not to use Therapeutic. It's no secret that thousands of the world's most successful sellers rely on Therapeutic, and you can too. Try it free for 7 days at Therapeutic.com. That's T-E-R-A-P-E-A-K, Therapeutic.com.
When it comes to keeping up with eBay and online marketplace news, you've got to consider the source. That's why you should be reading TameBay. You can trust TameBay to know what's moving and shaking in the world of e-commerce, both close to home and around the globe. It's must-read news for eBay sellers. Editors Chris Dawson and Dan Wilson serve up the real dish, with an eye to serving real-life sellers who want to grow and improve their businesses on eBay and online. Chris is an eBay seller himself, and Dan helped found eBay UK. Plus, TameBay offers more than just news. Their free seller resources include ebooks, videos, and the TameBay Guide to Seller Tools and Services. It's a comprehensive directory of third-party providers, including eBay Radio. For up-to-date e-commerce news worldwide, turn to TameBay at TameBay.com. That's T-A-M-E-Bay.com.
As an eBay seller, I'm on call 24/7, listing, shipping, and providing 5-star customer service. That includes responding ASAP to buyers' emails, but I can't be online all the time. Then I discovered Reply Manager. In addition to managing my inbound messages, their smart autoresponder lets customers know when they'll hear from me in person, and it all goes through eBay's My Messages. I set it to reply to customers during the hours I'm offline, like weekends or after hours. Their email still shows as unread, so I can find it easily once I'm back online. Reply Manager's smart autoresponder can even be topic specific. For example, questions about returns. I can set up auto responses for international buyers too. Thanks to Reply Manager's smart autoresponder, I can communicate with customers while I'm busy eating, sleeping, or just having a life. Try it free at ReplyManager.com.
Listen while you list.